Good morning, everybody. I just wanted to introduce you to a new perspective on Advent this morning. And I need to take you back to October, when it was my husband's birthday. And our daughters got together and they bought a present. And this present, which the grandchildren were involved in putting together, included two crates that had been beautifully painted, included Christmas lights, included reindeers, and included 24 bottles of signature beers. All of them were beautifully wrapped, and here's the first one, and on the top each one had a star or a shape with number 1, 2 right through to 24. So it was his Advent present in October. I have to say he hasn't actually started them yet, but still. And then, almost 6 weeks later, last week, two of our grandchildren came running in, and we were sitting down on the settee, and came in with their Advent calendars, and they were thrilled with them. And Abby, who's here, she's just come from forest schools here. That's what the stick is there. She's created something from that. But she came right up to Jim when he asked her the question, Abby, when are you going to start opening the Advent calendar? So she looked at him and thought for a moment and said, when you start drinking your beer. We need to have a chat with the grandchildren about Advent.
I think they're
very
right.
Well, sort of. Jim's going to really enjoy his Advent beers. But if we look at Advent, this season of Advent, it's this month before Christmas, and it's about preparing ourselves for Christmas. And one of the features of Advent is that it calls us to wait for something that's already happened, as well as something that hasn't. You know, it's that double vision of Advent, that we look both backwards with expectation as we wait to celebrate the birth of Jesus 2,000 years ago, and then we look forward with anticipation to the end times when Jesus returns as judge and Lord to establish his kingdom reign. And a candle is lit each week. There are usually 4 candles. That always reminds me of the 2 Ronnies. I have to smile about it. Everybody knows it. But next week, when the Advent calendar, the wreath is there, there'll be a 5th candle that's lit on Christmas Eve. And it's symbolic of Jesus being in the centre of Christmas. And, you know, although our Christian lives is meant to be led, it's meant to be lived out with Jesus at the centre, our busyness and, you know, our focus on activity often relegates Jesus right to the edge of our lives. And then when we do arrive at Advent, which has much to do with waiting and watching, it's no wonder that, you know, we struggle with it. For most of us, it's something we don't do well. Certainly I don't do well. It's something I'm getting better at, but I still don't do it as well as I would really like to. And our frustrations, I believe they begin at a very early age in childhood, when, you know, we couldn't wait for things, we couldn't wait to open this and that, and they're hard to outgrow. All around us, we encounter the encouragement not to wait. Have it now. Why? Because you deserve it. Improvements in all areas of communication, same delivery of goods now, say to us, why should you wait? And our mobile phones, they enable us to be in, even when we're out. So waiting is becoming an odd idea altogether. So this 4 weeks set aside for Advent, when the church is called to watch and wait, seems completely out of sync with the world itself. And yet, rather than being seen as something that the church does that's out of touch, out of date again, as far as the world's concerned, rather than apologizing for it, Isn't this call to watch and wait something that the church needs to embrace and to share with a world that's full of anxiety, fueled with discord, and living in the express lane most of the time, weary with Brexit and losing hope of the world ever becoming a better place to live? A fresh vision of Advent that teaches us about a kind of waiting that rests with an inner stillness whilst anticipating the future, but enabling us to embrace the present and helps us to find more meaning in this act of waiting. For many of us, you know, Advent is such a busy time with all our preparations for Christmas added along with the list of work, family, clubs and other commitments that are already in the routine of life, that the thought of stopping and sitting passively, whilst it might be attractive in many ways, it's simply impossible to do. But Advent doesn't invite a passive waiting. It invites the utmost activity. It invites an internal activity, waiting, that centres our hearts on Jesus. Finding a new peace and a new perspective to our faith, a fresh vision of God's kingdom here and now, alongside our creativity and our activity that comes from a thoughtful response to all that Jesus gives to us, and as we give ourselves afresh to him. Often we wait for answers to prayer, even desperate prayers, we wait. Yet, if we wait, if we can find enough faith, if we can find enough perseverance to go on trusting God, even without answers, and get on with life as best we can in his strength, we find that in the waiting, often God comes to us in all his beauty, in all his love, all his comfort. And we see things that we wouldn't see if we had gone another way. I think of Abraham's call, you know, to gather his family and belongings and leave everything that he knew and to go. And God didn't say where he was going to. God called him to enter into a time of waiting that for him had no end. And at one point, God told him not to be afraid, that he was his shield and he was his very great reward. And Abraham sort of says in reply, well, that's all very well, but I can't see what you can do because I'm old and I have no children. He had been waiting a very long time. He was now 90. He's sort of saying what we often think in our waiting, when nothing changes and the heavens seem as brass. In any case, God, you've already promised me a lot, and I haven't seen any changes yet. Abraham thought that it was impossible for God to do anything to change the situation and assumed that because nothing had changed, nothing would ever change. And yet history tells us that Abraham's life changed dramatically through the miraculous intervention of God. As he broke into his life, Sarah had a child in her old age, and Abraham did become the father of many nations as he persevered with God. And yet, when we look at Abraham's life, he spent a lot of time just tending the sheep. But he didn't just sit down on a rock and let the sheep look after themselves. He was active in his waiting. And I'm going to ask Bethan, is your voice strong enough, Bethan? I'm going to ask Bethan to come and to share a story with you that shows to us how God's kingdom rule can break into someone's life.
Thank you. Some of you will know that we had a debt centre here a few years ago. And last week it was brought to my attention, there's a programme on BBC One called A Matter of Life and Debt. And on that programme, there's a couple featured who I worked with. And the first thing I'd like to say is, please, if you can, and you've got iPlayer, it's last week's programme, about 24 minutes in, the couple speak. So everything I'm telling you is not confidential anymore. So one of the hardest things about doing the debt work is I couldn't tell you stuff. This couple were in severe debt. They had told no one. Shame, shame, shame. And the solution for them was to pay off their debt of £37,000 because they had a house they couldn't do insolvency. And they have worked so hard. And just this week, they have gone debt-free. Now, I hope you know that you're part of their story. All those of you who've prayed, given, supported. Jean Pass was a great supporter of CAP, and I know she knows now. But I wanted you to know, because do listen to the story, because you'll see at the end just what going debt-free means to them. But they didn't just sit back. They've worked really hard, and they've had challenges through those 5 years. And it's meant they've had to go without, think. And the lady is now the CAP Centre manager at Belper. So please don't think CAP doesn't exist anymore. CAP still covers this area. There are more CAP centres in Derbyshire than when we were doing it. So please, keep your ear out, your eye out for people who might need just a nudge to point them towards CAP. They do so much more than just the debt work now. So a bit of sort of research for you, and I hope you feel encouraged, because I certainly was. Thank you.
Thank you, Bethan. We can miss so much of God at work in the lives of ourselves, in the lives of our church, in the lives of others, because we're so busy. And Advent, this Advent waiting, it allows us moments to breathe and to recall, to prioritise our activity and focus on the important stuff of life, and allow the rest of the stuff to be relegated to the reserve bench where it belongs. It's a bit like sifting all the words, all the decisions, all the demands that are made on us, and allowing Jesus to just bring his light into everything, bring his guidance, his wisdom, his discernment at every turn, and life takes on a different perspective when we can do that. In a way, Advent brings the past and the future together into the present to discover afresh that God still is Emmanuel. He's still God with us, and he still breaks into our world afresh, bringing his kingdom in to show us that we have a new day of hope, when he will surely return as Lord of all, and when all things will look like the moments when we see the joy in this family who've gone debt-free, when we see his glory break through into our world, and we recognise his kingdom coming in healings, in lives that are transformed, and also in those quiet answers to prayer that no one but you will know. In all of this, we'll still be asking, why is it that despite our best efforts to follow Jesus, allowing his Holy Spirit to fill us, we can't act as we really wish we could? And why is it that Christian communities experience as much conflict sometimes as other communities do? And why is it that despite the evident of God with us in our midst, we still get ground down by the tragic swirl of events that we see in the world in which we live in? And it's because we live in between the beginning of the end times, from the resurrection of Jesus, and the end times themselves, which is when no one but God himself knows when that time will be. And this is where we live. Paula Gooder puts it this way in her book, The Meaning is in the Waiting. The glimmers of God's glory that we see, those moments that we see and know God at work in the world, exist to strengthen our resolve to increase those glimmers, to strive to make God's kingdom more present on earth every day. Waiting for the future involves a recognition of what the world might be, and our waiting becomes active as we work towards transforming the present, be it through prayer or be it engaging with the work of the kingdom. In the text this morning that you heard from Mark, from verse 31, it tells us that the master leaves the house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned tasks. The master, of course, is Jesus, and it's an analogy of Jesus' return. The servants in this parable each had their assigned task, their special duties to do. But what does that mean for us today in our church here? God has put the whole of humanity in charge of his world. And we, as his church, are expected to fulfill his mission for us here on earth. Now we know what that mission is, because Jesus gave the church just one great commission in Matthew 28. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's our calling. So the question is, what is our assigned task as part of that great commission? And the thing is that Jesus calls every single one of us to cooperate with him and bring in his kingdom here on earth in our time. You might ask, you know, well, what does that look like? Well, it looks like us. It looks like us being the hands and the feet of Jesus himself as we listen and we go in his name. And if we think for one moment that God won't use us, if you think, well, you know, it's only me, God won't want to use me, or because the things that happened in the past make you feel that God won't bother with you at all, that he doesn't need you, we just need to take a look at his disciples and all their faults. And this is what Jesus said to them in John's Gospel. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. We are all invited into the work of God's kingdom. And Jesus knew full well when he said these words that within a few hours they'd all desert him. And yet here he chooses to dwell on this one good thing to praise his disciples, because they had been faithful. God calls us not to be successful, but to be faithful. Their hearts had been right, whatever their mistakes might have been. And God has assignments for each one of us. He leaves no one out, because you matter to God and I matter to God. He knows each of our worth. We are very precious in his sight. And he knows each of us by name too. And by his Holy Spirit leading you, God will show you the stuff that only you can do. We just have to ask. And it doesn't matter if it's a big thing or a small thing. It's not the point. We carry the kingdom within us. And God sends us to share this Advent hope with those who are in the darkest of darkness, because his light has already overcome the darkness. The point is that we're not going round and round and round getting nowhere. Tom Wright puts it like this: we're signing up to be part of God's larger project, God's forward purposes, his plans for the whole of creation to be renewed, so that, as the prophet said, the earth will be full of the knowledge and the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Each time we retell the stories of our salvation, and we retell the story of salvation in the Bible, it holds within it the promise of God speaking to us afresh as we look at the Bible. And then God shows us something, you know, we've never seen before. We understand something that we can't believe we've missed. We have good news to share of a good, good Father, of a God who is Emmanuel, present with us, still breaking into our lives, still speaking. And we have this hope of Jesus' return, when evil will be overtaken by the rule of God, as he comes in glory to claim his kingship, to establish his kingdom, where there will be no more crying, no more struggle, no more fear, only healing, love, mercy and grace as he ushers in his reign of justice and peace. Let's pray. Lord of Advent, Lord of Christmas, Lord of all, we thank you that you have called us to be your children. And we thank you for the hope that you've written in our hearts to carry into a world in such need, a world thirsty for love, thirsty for peace, thirsty for your grace, for your gentleness, for your compassion, for your mercy. Would you help each one of us to find you again in this month as we wait to celebrate your birth again? And then send us out full of hope, full of your power, to speak that salvation story to others, that they might find you in the waiting. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.